Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Purple People Eaters podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk some Vikings football. Obviously, not the outcome that we wanted last Thursday. Seems like a long, long time ago now, but the Vikings did go down 30-20. It's actually the first time they lost under KOC when winning the turnover battle. You know, we've had that stat where they've never lost if they win or tie the turnover battle. And I remember always talking about, I want to see us win one when we lose the turnover battle. Now, do I want a bunch of turnovers in games? No, but I'm just saying, at some point, you got to break that trend as well. All right, so a little bit of gloom. It's not all doom and gloom, but with Darisaw out, we're going to have to ask the question what we're going to do with that. Are we just going to go as is? Are we going to tweak it? Some folks asking for a trade, the trade deadline coming up. Forget just the left tackle trade, but just in general, you know, interior defense, you know, what are we going to do at the trade deadline, if anything? We'll talk a little bit about that. And, of course, we'll break down the game. We've had, you know, a handful of days now to kind of calm down a little bit. Had a rough one, you know. It appears that we, until proven otherwise, are a bit of a front-running team. And we talked about, you know, wanting to see like a competitive back-and-forth game because that's what the NFL is all about. And also, how would we do in these score-fest shootout games? Well, so far, so not that good. But it's a long season. They're only 5-2. So we're going to break it down. Then, of course, we're going to talk about the Colts game back home. Sounds like TJ Hockenson basically is going to play. He definitely has to be on the active roster based off the rules. So he's going to play. We'll see if we can get Cashman back. Is Reisner going to play? Yada, yada, yada. So we'll talk it all the way through. We'll preview and predict the Colts game. And then, of course, if you've listened to the show long enough, we always end with the Gopher football segment, which they're on the up and up. They had a great performance against Maryland, you know, much like last year, beat Iowa. This year it's beat Illinois. We got to beat Illinois with Bielema there. And Bielema in general has been, you know, a thorn in the side, no doubt about it. Anyway, before we get to that, if this is your first time listening to the Purple People Eaters podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blog.radio.com/ropeadope radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Ropeadope and all that stuff. You can find it in a variety of places under Ropeadope Radio and Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Google Podcast. Tune in. You can download the podcast app. If you like Spricker, Living in Loserville, for those who listen on Spotify, a big platform. Check it out, Purple People Eaters. While you're at it, head on over to thegruelingtruth.com and Sports News 24. One more thing. Watch the World Series at home or on the run with DirecTV Stream. Sign up and save up to $74.99. Either way, follow your teams all season long. The best way to watch your favorite professional team and get all the top sports channels is with DirecTV Stream. We got a really good deal here. I keep saying it. The limited time stuff, $86.98 for the first 2 months if you sign up for the entertainment package and add the DirecTV Sports pack. Either way, they do have a free trial. You can stream instantly on the device you already have. You could do the choice package, which includes FanDuel, which was formerly Bally Sports. That's gone now. $94.99 for the first 3 months, or the Ultimate, which is up over 160 channels. $199.99 for the first 3 months. Okay, let's bring in Aaron and talk it through because, you know, we talked about how, yeah, we lost once. The sky's not falling. We lose twice. The sky's not falling. But when you lose Darisaw, it gets a little spooky. It gets a little spooky because of what that could mean. But for those who were so up, Aaron, I think that's kind of who we're trying to address. Like, I think it got a little too over the top with the Super Bowl stuff not you, but the people that, you know, we're going Super Bowl, MVP, blah, blah, blah. I think those people are down and out right now because they thought 5-0 start meant whatever, 17-0. I don't know what they thought, but it is what it is. We lost. We probably didn't deserve to win the game for key moments in the game where the refs, you know, are there two calls at least that you can say, hey, that's bullshit? Yes. But, you know, we'll talk it through. First and foremost, how you doing? And what are your thoughts now, Vikings 5-2?
I'm doing relatively well. Yeah, I mean, the people that thought it was going to go 17-0, they probably think that every year, so it's not really much to say to them. But, you know, if you've been a Minnesota Viking fan, you realize that the season ebbs and flows. And, you know, sometimes you get five-game winning streak to start off a season. And, you know, I'm not saying we're going to, you know, fall off a cliff like we did with the Sam Bradford. But I am saying that you're going to lose some games. Even 98 team lost a game. And so, you know, that's a whole, you know, other story. The clouds are getting a little bit closer to my head, though, with Darisaw out, Chris. And, you know, I know some people were like, why are you trying to, you know, run a play there and all that stuff? And you got to look at, you know, O'Connell's been kind of foot on the gas in those situations since he got here. He's not going to take a knee and go into the locker room. And so I wasn't really, you know, down about that. I am down about the injury. It looked nasty. Darisaw's out for the season. That's a problem. We'll talk a little bit about what we think might happen in that situation. But, you know, I'm glad we had a couple days to sit on this one and let it kind of marinate because there's a lot. Yeah, a couple bad calls. I thought a couple timely calls that didn't work out for the Vikings at all made life really miserable for them. But I think our problems are bigger, sad to say, bigger than the referees at this point. I know, you know, they're not unfixable problems, but they are interesting ones. And, you know, if you keep Darnold on the script, Chris, coming out to start games, it seems like, you know, if he knows what he's doing, he's practiced them and, you know, they got the 10 plays or whatever, the 20 plays that they want to run. He's very good in that situation, but once those end, it really seems like we start to see, you know, a little bit of what we thought we'd see with Darnold, happy feet, you know, quick reads, wants to run, that kind of stuff we talked about last week, and it's still there. I mean, so I think we kind of know what Darnold is, and we're going to have to just scheme with it and figure it out. You know, he has good starts, so hopefully that helps us get out to some leads. But, you know, the Rams matched us this time, and it didn't really work out the way we wanted it to.
So once the teleprompter goes down, he's pretty much done. He can't improv. He can't just talk to the people. Since we are in the political season, I can't wait till these political ads go away. No matter what side are people on, or maybe they're on neither side, whatever.
We kept talking about getting the play in, Chris. And it appears that O'Connell's using every single second he has to talk to Darnold going into the play, and that might be some of the reasons why play clock's always at 2 or 1 when they snap the ball.
But, yeah, I agree with you what you said about the scripted stuff. Once you get off the script, he's more of a B, C-class actor if we're going off the script stuff like Hollywood. But either way, yeah, anyone saying anything about the Darisaw injury as far as why it happened or something, that's just fandom coming out, emotion, you know, because when someone lands on your leg like that, your leg's not supposed to bend like that. It's pretty easy to see. So, yeah, I did see some of that as well. But like you said, I mean, we started out like gangbusters. Several nice runs by Jones, Jefferson catching first downs left and right. Oliver was just wide open for that first touchdown. Now they matched us, marched down pretty good, nine plays, 70 yards, 4 minutes. But then it was back to Jones and J.J. J.J. in the second drive is already up to 5 catches. Sherfield was wide open. Plenty of time for Sam again. He started out 8-8, so he was really hot. But here's where some things started to go, right? Murphy on a 3rd and 7 had the holding, right? And they started breaking off good chunk runs, sizable chunk runs. And, you know, Detroit was starting to get the ball out real quick against us. And now you could see it's hard to get pressure and get home with that pressure if they're getting the ball out quick. But if you adjust and you get on 3rd down and 7 or whatever, you know, in some of those, you're not going to get, they're not going to go, 0-11 on 3rd down, right? More than likely anyway. But you got to get some of them. And so here we are, Murphy holding, whatever you want to say. One of the calls, you know, I can understand maybe, you know, was it a free hand that he pulled the jersey a little bit? Seemed like it was a ticky-tack call. But then when you look on 3rd and 7 again, Gilmore didn't look back. It's an easy call. He ran right into him, and it's 1st and goal. And so, and we also, on that drive, missed not one but 2 sacks on the same play. So maybe one guy kind of gets him a little bit, slows him up, and then the other guy comes to clean it up, missed both of them. So it's, you know, cup, you know, toss, no problem, 14-14. And, you know, defensively, you can really point to a couple things, but there were penalties right away. To make it 2nd and 15, 2 of them on that drive, 1st and 20, 2nd and 15, 3rd and 9. And then there was some sort of miscommunication, whether Sam just threw it away. I don't know whose fault it was, if it was the quarterback or the receiver. I don't know. Something weird happened there. We had an illegal hands to the face, but we ended up being able to force, a punt or whatever. But, yeah, a lot of false start. It's 2nd and 25, 3rd and 25. You're not going to do a whole lot there, right? But still, the game, you know, the game's right there. It's at half. The game's definitely right there. That obviously, that's when, you know, Darisaw's leg got landed on. But at half, I still felt pretty good, man. It's 14-14, and then they start out and they get the pick, you know. And it actually probably, I don't know, it was an overthrow. I think it was on 3rd and 6. Murphy got it, but honestly, like, there was a PI on that one on a deep ball, and I thought it could have been called on the wide receiver, but it is what it is. But, you know, after that first quarter, it's like 3 and out, 3 and out, end of half, field goal, punt. Safety, we know that the safety had a, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but it just seemed like you said, the second halves or even after the first quarter, the offense kind of just goes, falls apart, but we were right there, and it felt like, you could say on 3rd and goal, JJ got pushed. I could see that on that play. We can't just blame the refs though, but I would agree with maybe 1 or 2 calls that Jefferson usually gets, and then, you know, here and there. But overall, I thought that the cornerback on those 3rd downs, Aaron, was just – he was in position, but he didn't look for the ball. So if you run into a wide receiver, you're going to get called most of the time on it. You know, I didn't think it was a bunch of bad calls. I'd say about 3 out of the 5 PIs on 3rd downs were the Vikings' fault.
Begrudgingly, I agree with you. I think that, you know, there's obviously the Murphy one to start it all off was kind of a ticky-tack, if anything at all. Definitely. Obviously, the one at the end is what it is. We'll get to that. But you're right. I mean, as much as you want to say every 3rd down you couldn't get out the field, well, yeah, you made stupid penalties, and that goes for the offense as well. It was the stuff that was pre-snap again. It's just formations lining up wrong. False start here. They're just things that really sloppy. you know, and you're not generally that sloppy under O'Connell. There has been some problems with pre-snap penalties throughout this season. But you shoot yourself in the foot. Like you said, you end up in third and 25 or something like that, and then you're at first and 15 and second. You know, it's not a good place to start at all. I thought players played fairly well when they were in position to do it. I thought Jones made plays. Jefferson made plays. Addison made plays. You know, with Darrisaw or without Darrisaw, they were making plays. It's just they were getting behind the chains, and it just wasn't good offensively. And, yeah, you came out, got up 14, but then, you know, a series of penalties and problems defensively led to some issues. And I did feel good at the half, Chris. I thought, you know, it's a tied game. I think it was tied at the half, wasn't it?
Yeah, 14.
Yeah. So I figured you'd come out and play well, and you can win this one. I don't think anybody expected Puka to be back. We thought Cup would for sure. And we heard rumblings about them both being back, but obviously just in time for the Vikings as usual, everybody gets their players back. And I think that's going to happen again here soon. I can't remember what the deal was, but somebody's lining up to do that again. Nonetheless,
it's like the injury just responds like, wait, who's on the
Vikings?
Oh, we're good, dude. My knee's feeling good. Me and my knee had a long talk.
Yeah. And so I remember seeing the linemen, all four of them kneeling when Darrisaw went down. That kind of put a pall over the halftime. But man, you can blame the referees. I think a lot of people are. And I think there was a couple really shitty calls in that game. And some timely, maybe you didn't have to call that. Maybe they usually don't call that. But when they replay them and you're committing the penalty, there's not a lot you can say about it. I mean, it's just what it is. Turn your head around, look for the ball. That's a great, you know, little teaching point there. But yeah, I think the Vikings shot themselves in the foot really throughout the whole game. But particularly in the first half, offensively, the third quarter or the second quarter and the third quarter, and you're just not moving the ball. You're getting behind it, punts and all that stuff. And you're just, when the script's gone, first quarter's done, you better have 28 points, because if you don't, you know, the well dries up and that can't continue, yet it does continue. So, you know, I think there needs to be some sort of adjustments in halftime. And I really don't think, you know, McVay was throwing a lot of stuff, and I'll let you get us back on track here. But I wanted to throw in that McVay had a good game plan, a lot like Detroit, like you said, get the ball out quick, get it to the middle of the field, replace the blitzer kind of stuff, and just stayed with that consistently. And I think that's how they ended up scoring points for the most part. And I think that's a recipe against the Flores defense. Until he can adjust or maybe not blitz as much, you're going to see a lot of that.
Yeah, and I will say the last two offenses that we faced, because we faced a healthy Rams offense, which you can throw some of their stats out without a healthy, you know, those two receivers, obviously. You know, not every team's going to be able to do that, obviously. And – like I said, even with their success, we were getting to third down and 7, third down and 6, third down and 8, and then messing up. So I think some of it is fixable, like you mentioned. But, you know, at 17-14, we got that field goal off that pick. Or not – actually, we had to drive down. It was a good drive. It wasn't like we were set up in the red zone by any stretch. You got a field goal, no big deal. They turn right around and get a touchdown. And so you're like, all right, dude. These are one of those games where you got to match, you know, you have to match. And that's one thing when we were, and that's why I know I'm going to get some shit for the front runner stuff, but it's kind of the definition of it, you know, and that's why I was getting a little pushback when I'd say, oh, I want to see him in a shootout where both teams are scoring, not just building a lead. And it, you know, we started to see Green Bay and the Jets, and they started coming back on us, and it's like, well, we held them off. And so there's something to be said about holding them off too, especially in this league. A win is a win, but I'm talking about the back and forth score fest like the last two games, right? And I wanted to see both sides. And you know, it would have been nice to have a touchdown on this one and on the next drive we had. And it was 3rd and 3. Jones had a nice grab. Sam threw a duck, I'll just admit it. But this is not Sam's fault. It's 3rd and 4 now. right near the goal line, and Naylor just drops the ball. Now, that's a minimum of a first down, but if you look at the angles, it's probably a touchdown because you have one guy there in, like, the whole left side is open. And it, even on TV, you could be like, ah, he might not, but that's a lot of green, dude. You know, so my guess is he would have scored. But either way, you're looking at first and goal inside the five. But Naylor just dropped the damn ball. So that's not Sam's fault. That's not bad penalty fault. You know, that's a drop, a big drop. So then you settle and it's 21-20. Still no big deal. You know what I mean? Still not out of it or whatever. But once again, you look at that next drive, you know, had another PI. Cam Bynum the last 2 weeks hasn't been all that good. Wide open guys, he's the closest to it. Now, I'm not saying it's all his fault. Whose responsibility is this and that? You know, I'm not watching the all 22 left and right, but I'm starting to see him show up sometimes. And sometimes it can be, we've played a lot of zone with the secondary, so sometimes it can be someone else's fault or the corner says, hey, I thought I had someone back there, and Cam's like, no, dude, I got that guy. You got that guy. So I'm not trying to just say bind him, you know, trade him. But the last 2 weeks, I'll say, I've seen him around a couple plays where you're like, man, like just missing a tackle or whatever too. But it's 28-20. Got 5 minutes left. And Sam holds the ball. He tries to do this little spin out like he's Burrow, you know, and it's like, dude, it's just bad pocket presence because you kind of spun into the guy that you are going to try to outrun, and it's 3rd and 21, you know. So we got a punt, no big deal. We got lucky because Kupp stepped out of bounds. But, you know, even Gilmore was in position on that drive. And he's, once again, he just wasn't seeing the ball in the air, man. But we did get the ball back, down 28-20, starting at the 3. And, you know, a lot of people, Aaron, can't have two thoughts on the same topic, right? It's either black or white or whatever. You know, it's either, it's got to be this. And when you're talking about fandom, a lot of times it's just one way towards your team. Now, was that a face mask? Yes. Was the ref looking right at him? We've all seen the still pictures. Yes, it was a bad call. However, I don't know what Sam's doing right there. I think he should get rid of the ball. Was he really going to outrun that guy? The guy just tried to tackle high, probably going for the ball as well. You know, messed up. But he put hands on him. And I think you get rid of the ball. You're in the end zone, for Christ's sakes. You know? And let's say they call it, right? Okay, you're at the 20-yard line. So you're at the 20, something like that. You still got to go score. Pretty sure we didn't have timeouts, right? And then you got to get the two-point conversion. So the folks saying, we got screwed, blah, 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 like it's the biggest screw job ever. That's where I push back because, dude, we couldn't score a touchdown past the first quarter. Now, maybe we do go down there and score and get the two-point conversion, go to overtime and win the game. I'm not saying that's not impossible. But to just put it on that, that's where you lose me, you know. And also within that play, Sam needs to get rid of the damn ball or make a decision quicker and run or whatever he was going to do. It looked like he was just trying to run or maybe buy some time. Maybe there was someone open, whatever. But to me, I think that was Sam's fault too. The ref missed the call, but it doesn't equate to us winning the game.
I think it robs us of the opportunity to try and win the game, even though, you know, the chips were stacked against us pretty severely at that point. I mean, 20-yard line would have been better, but no timeouts. I don't remember how much time was left on the clock, but it wasn't a whole hell of a lot of time. So it would have been close to miraculous to get down and then to convert it in a 2-point conversion, which seems to be impossible for this team. I mean, it goes back to Darnold, Chris. Again, I'm going to preface this by saying, you know, Darnold is Darnold. We have an idea of what the issues are now. We need to, you know, figure out how to play within those parameters. But, you know, I think he tries to do too damn much. Just take the check down in that situation and maybe avoid a face mask, or you got a hot read, maybe get to the hot guy. get rid of the ball instead of looking for, you know, the primetime play all the time. And I really think that's what's happening here, is he's just trying to, you know, find that perfect play. Well, sometimes there's not, and you got to check it down, or you got to, you know, ad lib, get out of the end zone or do whatever. Now, I'm not absolving the refs here. It's a horrible miscall. Blatant, mysterious as to why it wasn't called. Everybody appeared to be watching. I know Trey Blake, the umpire, said that he didn't have a look at it. Well, he's staring right at it.
I don't know. What were you looking at? Did a shoulder pad or something?
There's another ref in the goalpost that could have saw too and staring right at it. So I don't know what that was. That's neither here nor there. We'll let the league figure that out. I wish there was some repercussions though, Chris. It's like we hear, okay, they write a letter to the league. I think we talked about this maybe last season or the season before, but then what happens after you write the letter to the league? Do they write back and say, yeah, we're sorry you got screwed and that's it? So the Murphy call and then this call were kind of the highlights of them. The rest were, you know, culpable. And the people, you know, whether they call it or not, the penalty was committed. Back to Darnold again. It's just got to find a way to get him to get rid of the ball quick, you know. Stafford's getting rid of the ball quick. Goff's getting rid of the ball quick as a game plan type of thing. And you're just letting – I don't know if you're letting him sit back there, Chris, and pick and choose or do whatever he does. But you know, maybe he needs that big window of open. You know, maybe he's – we always talk about that with new quarterbacks, how, you know, NFL open is different than college open. And so maybe he's a little tentative.
They want to see it before they throw it.
Right. Or something like that. Or maybe just in situations he doesn't want to make a mistake. Nonetheless, it is what it is. We'll have to deal with it. But I mean, you got robbed of the opportunity to try and win the game, however, you know, improbable that would have been. It would have been nice to see them get an opportunity to do so. But in the end, the be all and end all is that call did not, you were going to lose that game because of penalties, because of no pass rush, because you couldn't turn your head around and get an eye on the ball as a 12, 13 year veteran. And Gilmore's getting picked on. Now, I thought it was going to be Murphy, Chris, and it really seems like Gilmore's starting to get the edge now, just because he fell down last week. He's getting long in the tooth. But it really seems like they're going at him, especially if they got young guys. And of course we missed Cashman to stop the run. There's a lot of things that went into this game. It wasn't just that one call.
Yeah. And we would have had time, you know, we had enough time to score, no doubt. There was plenty enough, even without timeouts. Not like it's easy, but there was enough time for sure. So I like how you put that. It robbed us from an opportunity to go down there and force overtime. And then once you get to overtime, you really never know what's going to happen. So, yeah, definitely. And if you look at the last six possessions, you got multiple punts, field goals, that dumb safety or whatever. But if you look at the plays, you know, 66 to 50, some of that is we got to sustain drives past the first quarter, you know, a little bit more consistent in general. If you look at since the second half of Green Bay, we've scored, I think, one touchdown past overtime. You know, when you look at Paul Charchian had this Vikings using their pregame scripted plays for the rest, kind of like what you're talking about. First 15 plays, 1 through 15, plays per plays, just says, yards per play, first, points, first, pass yards, first, rushing yards, eighth, first down, second, in the league, you know. Then you look past 15 plays in those same categories, 23rd, 24th, 26th, 27th, 29th, you know. So, yeah, it is huge to be able to just, you know, I think that our defense, it was hard to tell because they were making so much plays. And at times, not all the times, but at times set up our offense, and our offense was really good in the red zone too. So we were getting these big leads. But you can't – so the team, the opponent, had to ditch the run game. But now that the game's well within reach, the whole game now, lately, Then they get stick with that running game. So now we realize we're not as good at the run as we thought we were, or as the stats tell you we were. But yeah, since the since week three, we've had one offensive touchdown in the second half. So, this is part of feeling it. First of all, you don't want to take the first three or four games and add them up and equate like that's going to happen the whole year. But some of that is just, all right, now we get to see it. And that's what we were talking about. I want to see this. Yeah, we'd love to every game to be a blowout, you know? You win the games, and we want to win every game. But let's see what it's all about. And so, yeah, the defense, you know, only two hits on the QB, definitely a season low. They did get, like, five or six tackles for loss. They had, like, five pass deflections. But overall, just couldn't get there. And then when they were able to at least make an adjustment to get them on third down, we've talked about that. You mentioned Blake Cashman. It appears that we're missing him pretty heavy, probably in the run game and just in the middle of the field. Also, offensively, the Hockenson thing is going to be clutch, and maybe that's where Sam can go with that, you know, with the ball. Because even when he's such a big dude that he can box someone out, you can just go to him, you know. So overall, fixable things, no doubt. But, yeah, the defenses start – we knew they were going to give up yards, especially in the pass. We said that from the jump. Bend and don't break. They've broke more – you know, they've bent and broke both. But I think that part of the breaking wasn't just – it's third and short. They're just fucking us up this week. It wasn't that. It was us, too. It was penalties. So I don't think it was nearly as bad as people are saying. But also – you know, we're starting to see the flaws, and we've known from the jump we didn't have a big, nasty nose tackle. And we're not really playing a traditional 3-4, but when you do, you generally have a big, nasty for two downs in a third and short, right? So they are getting sizable runs. You know, Gibbs for Detroit, that whole offense, that's a fucking juggernaut. And like I mentioned, some people thought I was making an excuse for Flores and the defense last week when I said nowadays, and it's been this way for a while, great offenses beat great defenses. That's just a fucking fact, dude. It just is. It happens in basketball all the time, too. And the rule changes have allowed that as well. Okay, I'm not just saying, oh, there's nothing you can do. You're harmless. But, you know, if you look at going for the ball and putting a pinky on the face mask of the quarterback and his hands to the face and stuff like that. Like you have a window now where you can hit a guy when you're trying to sack him. When you're getting blocked down to the ground and you're being desperate. Oh, you went for his legs. Yeah. Sometimes that is the case. Other times that's the only way he had to get the guy on the ground. We talk about the fucking hip tackle thing. I mean, the highlights they show on the hip tackle is ridiculous. You got this big 6'5", 270 dude running straight from the 5-yard line to the freaking end zone, and you're coming from an angle. Well, how the hell are you going to get this big dude down? Now I can't grab his hip? You know, like it's ridiculous. So I'm not trying to make excuses out of nowhere, but if you watch enough football and take your fandom out of it, there are times, even if you go Georgia and Alabama and all that stuff in college football, they look at the – it was 41-34 in that game, you know. So sometimes you got to win by outscoring the next, and you can push on our defense for some things, no doubt. No doubt about it. But the offense also has to do their job. So it's the – we were doing a really great complimentary job before. Now we're kind of both not doing what we need to get over the hump in these last two games anyway. And shades of those comebacks too. We were able to hold them off, but those shades that we started seeing, Aaron, in those comebacks have at least momentarily come back to haunt us. Not spooky for the rest of the season, but, you know, with the blind side, not Darisaw, I don't know how Sam's not going to feel or see more ghosts.
Yeah, my problems are scoring in the third quarter and fourth quarter. Quit with the fucking penalties. I mean, it's just killing you. offensively and defensively. Try see if Flores can make adjustments coming out this next game. I'm not saying he's exposed, and I've said that for 3 weeks now. Well, maybe he is exposed. You know, maybe they figure it out, quick passing, replace the blitzers, do all that stuff. You'll make hay against it. You got to adjust. And like you said, he doesn't have the big heavy up front. So we knew that going into the season is going to be a problem starting the run. Then you take Cashman out and you don't have your run stopping linebacker. Pace will do, but you need to, and that's Cashman, and you really don't have any to replace that. Where's Dallas Turner in the pass rush? Are we getting a pass rush? Are we just susceptible to quarterbacks getting the ball out quick, and therefore it's really hard to generate a pass rush? And if not, what do you do with your DBs? Because now they're on an island stranded. Generally, though, it's been to the middle of the field, so it's been safeties right. and linebackers that they've been taking advantage of. And then, you know, it's Hockenson. When are we going to see Hockenson? Is he back this week? I mean, that's what's the rumor, right? And then, you know, how long is Cashman out? Let's talk about this a little bit. We talked a little bit off air. What are the options now with Darisaw gone? I mean, I'm a big Walter Rouse guy. Throw him in, give him a shot. You mentioned moving Brandel out and then putting Reisner in, which I think is a pretty viable option, although Brandel's playing pretty well at guard. So do you really want to move him? Do you just stick with Questenberry? I think of those three, and then I'll see what your thoughts are. I like the Brandel out, Reisner in option to start with. And if not that, let me see Walter Rouse. Can he play at left tackle? That's why you drafted him. He's young. I'd give him a shot.
Yeah, my guess is they're going to do Questenberry and just go with it. But, I'm with the Brandel thing. Just because he's played there and we've seen, hey, this guy's not that bad over there. And to be fair, he was drafted in, quote-unquote, groomed to be a tackle. So, and then last year they said, you know what, we want to make you a guard. And he's done really well at guard. So you do make a good point, though, as far as, well, he's doing good there. You know, why move him now? I think that's a fair point. But my guess is they go – Questenberry before Rouse just because of the experience. But for the folks that want to trade for a legit left tackle, first of all, there's not too many trades out there that people are going to give away their left tackle, because when you got one, you tend to keep them. But second of all, this isn't a video game, guys. I swear to God, like Aaron and I, like video games were just starting to really pop when we were younger, right? Teens, 20s. We're like at the back end of Generation X. But I swear to you that this media is the generation, you know, of the video game. And they just, I don't like this game, turn it off, reboot it, let's start a new season. You don't go get a legit left tackle, give up future stuff for this season? That makes no sense. You want to go get a corner? Okay. You want to get an interior defensive lineman? I'm all game for that. Okay, cool. I mean, you know. If the price is right, we talked about that either a week ago or 2 weeks ago with Lawrence. Let's see what we'd have to give, you know, some of the stuff, the two first rounders. No, thank you. But
it might just, be, it right. might be the second most coveted position in the sport.
The D tackle
or the left? No, tackle? The left tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, the people aren't giving away left tackles. And yes. If they got one on the bench, they're going to move the starter out and move that guy in because he's cheaper.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not getting rid of tackles.
Right. And if they are, it's going to come at a premium to an extent anyway. And there's just no point when you got them. Like, then what do you do with the fucking guy? You know? Like, you play three tackles? Like, what do? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. You go, like, six linemen the whole time? You know, like, that doesn't even make sense, man. Now, I don't want to get a guy off the couch, you know? What you just brought up is a great point about they got a young guy. Maybe the vet got banged up. God, this young guy looks pretty good. We're moving on him. Okay, that's different. That is different. I'd be more willing to be open to that. But, yeah. Overall, and when I'm talking about plays, listen to this. This is Kevin Seeger. So per play, Vikings per play for a game, or plays per game. The offense has the fewest in the NFL at 56.7. That's their average. The defense has the third most in the NFL. Now, did we get conservative up, you know, big like in those first three games or whatever, even when they came back a little bit? And so you got conservative just to win the game, and so therefore less plays. Yes, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. And therefore more plays for the defense. And more times the defense are going to face all four downs because they're desperate. I get that. But you're still third most that the defense has to see. And lately it hasn't been blowouts. So that is the big problem. You know, that is a big problem. I've seen like the Bengals D tackle BJ Hill be throwing around, Cowboys D tackle, a couple, you know, some names out there, definitely some corners and whatnot. But it is what it is. I think a lot of people are just blaming the defense, and that's where you lose me, because I think once again, the defense got a little overrated when you talk about points per game. And we know rush game, they definitely did. Because, you know, we got so many big leads, so we didn't know if they could stop the rush because they had to abandon the shit. So it is what it is. You know, they overachieved early, you know, had a bunch of plays that they've been working on. They caught up to it. But also the offense has to finish certain things to go the other way. Because remember, if you look at the last 3-4 years, it was most of the games were like shootouts. Most of them. And it was just like, hey, defense, just make a play here and there, please. You know, but it was just back and forth and game tying touchdowns or go ahead fourth quarter and back and forth. And that's when you're in the playoffs, you're going to see that. When you play good teams, you're going to see that. There's a fair amount of shootouts, dude. So we got to be able to win those too. We can't just be front runners. Any other items before we get to this year Colts game, sir?
No, man, let's just take a deep breath, refocus, get ourselves, you know, our expectations put in perspective for the rest of the season. We're 5-2, you know, better than any of us expected at this point in the season. So, you know, that's a plus sign. We do have some issues, obviously, but, you know, that's going to play out, and I would not be surprised if they don't do anything before the trade deadline or something really minor, like, I don't know, pick up some depth somewhere, but I don't see them doing anything big. And I'm really happy with that. This year is not, you know, we're not going to the Super Bowl. This isn't the window. The window starts next year, as far as I'm concerned. And you don't want to be moving capital and, you know, all that stuff, or bringing in guys with contracts or Stafford or whatever it is. It's just, you know, it's pie in the sky. It's not necessary. Just get through the year, you know, as healthy as you can with your major parts and move on. And, you know, next week, Chris, they flex this game. I don't know why. The Colts aren't playing especially great. The Vikings aren't playing especially great. A little worried if it's Flacco, but it looks like it's going to be Richardson because he played last week. I'm a little worried about the running back. What's his last name? Taylor? Jonathan Taylor, is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's always had a fun games against us. He's always had good games. And we can't stop the run, so we'll see a steady dose of that. Obviously, if you can get some sort of pass rush on Richardson and be able to tackle him, that's the big caveat. Can you tackle him when you get there? That'll help out a lot. But, you know, I wish they were playing in that noon. It seems like a noon game. I don't know why they flexed it, but for whatever reason they did. You know, it seems like a normal Vikings-Colts game. I know last time we played them at our place, it was the comeback, wasn't it? Or was that at their place? I can't remember if that was.
It was their place, I think. You know, I can't remember either. Now I think about that.
It might be our place, but
I think it was our place. Man, that was crazy, dude. Holy shit.
And that was a Trey Blake officiated game, just as a little pointer note there. Nonetheless, you know, I like us here, Chris. I just don't think Richardson has enough to be in quick, short passing, recognized blitz, replace blitzer type of stuff going on there. I know that's not terribly complicated, but, you know, if you get a little bit of a pass rush on him somehow, And again, if you can get out to a lead and maybe slow them down from running the ball, because if you go, you know, blow for blow with them, Taylor's going to, he's going to tear us up a little bit on the ground. So, and then Cashman's back. Maybe that helps a little bit, but I don't know if he's back or not. He's got a turf toe. So it's
just the worst. It sounds so funny to the non-football fans, but it's like, no, dude, that's a major thing.
Yeah, it is major, especially with the new turf they got down. But I don't know, man. I guess I'll see where you stand. I feel like Vikings here, but, you know, if they don't get it, are we on the real slide, or are we just, you know, a little bit of a pitfall? This is a game we thought we'd win. We kind of checked it up to winning. But with Darisaw out, you know, Hockenson back, there's a lot of moving parts here for this one. So I don't, you know, I want to say Vikings, but I'm not wait on my pick until I maybe hear what you have to say.
Yeah. I mean, Cashman, I do think is a big deal, like you mentioned. And I think it's about a month or so because he was out. We had a bye, so there's 2 weeks. So I think it lines up to be about a month before he'd have to play a game. Now, obviously, you'd have to prove in practice or whatever. And to what degree is that, turf toe? That's a good question. We don't know. Hockenson is at least on the active roster for sure because, when you open that 21-day practice window, I think you have to, like, week five or something, you got to open up the window. And then he has to be on the active roster otherwise he's going to go back in the IR. So he's on the active roster. I do believe he's going to play it. And I think that will be a boost. Hopefully Cashman's back, but I don't know. That, like you said, it's tough to say. They're averaging about 22 points a game on offense. On offense. We're coming down a little bit now. You know, we're averaging 27. We're right around the same defensive numbers for points per game. And I will say this, just like last week, you know, Indy has been in a grip of tight games. I mean, the first game, you know, they lost by 2 to Houston. They lost to Green Bay 16-10. They beat the Bears 21-16, Steelers 27-24, like 37-34, 20-27, 16-10. Like, they've been in tight games. So my guess is this is a tight game, right? I'm not going out on the limb here. One stat in particular really stands out. The Colts are giving up basically 152 yards on the ground a game. That is a big, big number. We've been gashed a little bit lately, especially the last two games. Still only giving up 84 a game, but that it's a little skewed. You know, it's probably more like 100 something, 110 or 115 without those first couple games where they had to abandon the run. But 152 freaking rushing yards, dude. That's a lot of yards to give up in the pros. Even if you face rushing teams and all that, we get it. That skews it. Usually skews it more in college football even more. But honestly, like the run, the play action, Hockenson, home game, this is all needing to win. It opened at 7. It's still 6.5. Vikings, 6.5. I am going to say we're going to win. 27-20 is what I got it. And to your point, if we do lose this game, then I am going to really start to question where we're at. But I did like how you shaped it earlier. You do have to add context. In this world we live in, context is just fucking thrown out of the book. No matter what topic you're on, it feels like, especially like social and politics stuff, the context is needed. You know, we've been watching these goddamn political ads, and it's like they should be illegal unless the context is in there. You know, that's a true statement, but there's three other true statements that just shit on that statement, you know, and context is everything. So when you look at it, you know, saying 3-3 after that Lions game, man, we could really make a run. Like we gotta see if we can come out of 6-2, you know, I think we can right the ship and we got some winnable games coming forward. Confidence starts to go in general if we keep doing the same stuff and we lose three in a row.
Yeah, I forgot that they got a whole slew of young wide receivers too. They got Josh Downs and Pittman and Alec Pierce. They've got some guys that could make some hay against our secondary too. You know, I think I'm going to go with the Colts here. I don't want to, but I just don't like us in the second, third, and fourth quarter, Chris, and I don't like the way the defense has looked. They got a running quarterback who's got some size to him. I don't think he'll be the greatest passer. I don't think his passing stats are going to be fantastic. I think his running stats will be pretty damn good, though. I think it'll be close-ish, 7 points probably right. I think we'll come out again, probably be 14-0, 14-7, something like that, and then just fade again. I think they'll figure it out. I don't want to say all this, but, you know, to lose three in a row, it's a whole different conversation next week, I know, but I just don't see them fixing the things that need to be fixed, you know, overnight. I don't trust Flores to revamp everything with his personnel. He's going to stick with what he's got. The penalties, I think maybe that'll get cleaned up a little bit, or they'll just be playing with tight buttholes. I don't know, you know, just be tight and not be able to play, trying to avoid penalties. I know right. I've never seen O'Connell look more pissed off than I did against the Rams, especially like in the second half. So that's got to get cleaned up. What do you do about Darisaw? They got DeForest Buckner, who's always given nightmares to Bradbury. So all that adds up to me is another loss, three in a row. And then Taylor, you know, 150 yards or whatever he's going to have. Let's hope that isn't the case, but I just kind of see it, a home stinker that we have every year. I really think that we're going to lose. I'm going to say wrap it up probably 24-17 Colts, something like that. Nice start and then just fades out. You know, that's just what I kind of the MO of this team. And until they change it, I kind of have to stick with it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if we don't have at least 100 yards rushing, I will be disappointed. Because they give up a lot of yards, dude. Like that should set the tone for the offense, man. It really should. But yeah, we'll see. We will see. All right. To close the show with the Gopher segment, things are on the up and up. Dominant performance over Maryland homecoming game. What do you know? They showed up in the first quarter. I mean, we're not expecting to put up 21 in the first quarter every game, but just to show up, especially just the first half or whatever. And man, did they let them have it. Wally had a freaking pick six. I think it's the third pick six in the last, I saw a stat since like 2014 or 16. It's like the third pick six we've had on Maryland. And then Coy got another one, almost returned it. Just played great. You know, I was worried about their pass game. We shut that down. The secondary's played great. The defense has been really phenomenal. Offense, I mean, Max has just, you know, had one of the better games we've had in a long, long time. I think he was the offensive player of the week in the Big Ten. Put up four touchdowns. We don't go over 300 much. But, yeah, 26 of 33, 320 and four tutties, man. I mean, that was great. Daniel Jackson now is seventh all-time in TDs with 16. Tyler Johnson has 33, Ron Johnson 31. Ernie Wheelwright from 2004 to 2007 has 26. Eric Decker 24, Rashad Bateman 19, and Tutu, good old Tutu Atwell, 94 through 97 has 17. So Jackson's just been really steady for us, obviously. And Coy now leads the Big Ten. And remember, he didn't play much in the first handful of games, just in general. He was getting on the field, but he wasn't playing the whole game or nothing. Five picks now, most by a freshman in program history. He's got four in the last three. I mean, even when he got that pick, he went directly into a spin move. You just know the dude's got natural athleticism when you're already on a spin move, you know? And he said, I don't really like a spin move, but that's the only thing I had. You know, he doesn't like the spin move because he can't see where he's going. But he also said, I messed up, that he should have kept going for the sidelines instead of cutting back. But that was a great play. But overall, you know, we haven't been able to run the ball the way we like it. But for Taylor, you know, I think someone said, I think it was the Gopher podcast on KFAN, they said Taylor's 15th in receptions in the Big Ten. That's pretty good for a running back, you know. So we've managed a way to still be like, hey, Taylor's a great player. Somehow get him touches. So I like what we've done there. And just in general, like, they kind of clicked all together. And I got some pushback earlier in the year when I said, hey, this team is probably our best team on roster, on paper, since 2019. And maybe you could say 2020, but, you know, that roster was all messed up from COVID. Remember, we had the backup kicker who could only kick 20 yards because he had a hammy or whatever. So, but yeah, I mean, they're living up to it. But here comes Illinois, and you know, Bielema has done his thing. Wisconsin or Illinois against us, he's 9-0. Last year has beat Iowa. This year has beat Illinois with Bielema. We need to win. We're on the road, and the funny thing is, we were like a plus 2.5, plus 3 tops when it opened. And I'm seeing minus 2.5 and minus 3. We're a road favorite. And Illinois, you know, I don't remember seeing these major injuries. They only have 2 losses. They're 6-2. And yeah, they get beat up by Oregon, but they're freaking good. Great right now. And they lost to Penn State, at Penn State, 21-7, and that was a late touchdown. So I'm kind of scratching my head. Now, the one thing, they don't have the nasty D tackles that they normally do. So their defense isn't on par with what we've seen lately from him under Bielema. And their run game, funny enough, just like ours, isn't as nasty, you know, not nasty, but isn't as good as it has been. On paper, though, rushing yards, it's still better than us. But they were able to, with the quarterback, air it out more. Well, maybe they're thinking, well, dude, you're not going to be able to air it out against the secondary and the defense in general. So if they're stuck into that, then what? You know, so maybe that's where they're going with this. And then I hate to sound like a broken record, but opponent rushing yards, 159 a game. So if we can get to 125, 150, something like that with Max and what we can do and then close down the pass eventually, you know, all of a sudden I'm starting to look at this might be a win here, whereas a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I was still kind of, I don't know, but kind of like picking it last year, we finally got over the hump with Iowa. Maybe it's just a Vegas thing, you know, I don't know. But I honestly kind of start to feel like I felt pretty good. This can be a tight game. But the more we're improving, the more we're kind of living up to our potential as a team. I'll put it this way. If we could play 3 out of 4 good quarters, I think we win the game.
I'm more confident now than I was before, just kind of like what you said. If we can continue this passing the ball, and being able to strike to Jackson and Spencer and get the ball out and do the things that you got to do, I like our chances against Illinois. I'm much more confident than I was 3 weeks ago. We just haven't beat Bielema. It's another thorn in our side where we just haven't been able to beat them. And, you know, they came out on Saturday for homecoming, got up 21. Threw the ball around the yard, really put Maryland in a bad position. We're able to run the football, get some stuff. Coy had a nice, like I said, interception, great run back. Pretty slick, too, on the run back, too. He's got some moves, which, you know, would have been nice to get a touchdown out of it, but you can't have everything. He's got 5 picks. So that kind of highlights that. I thought, you know, Wally had the pick 6 of the day, which was really nice. 2 touchdowns apiece for the receivers. you know, it was a great day, and Maryland's not a terrible team, so it was definitely worth a worthwhile win. Bielema's always had our card. We'll see. I mean, if we can throw the ball around Chris and get after him and have some sort of pass rush and be stout against the run on, because he'll essentially, Bielema wants to run the football. He's old school Big Ten. And I know things are new. His quarterback was a little shaky against Oregon, I thought. But, I mean, I think most quarterbacks are a little shaky against those type of teams. And he's young, too. Altmaier, I think his name is. So I wasn't real impressed with him. So I think you can get him rattled a little bit. But, again, it's on the road. I'm really going to look into this, the points on this one, Chris, because it just doesn't make any sense to me either why you'd favor the Gophers by that much going on the road against a team that they've never beat under this coach. And no apparent injuries, no apparent anything, except for we played really well, and maybe they say they didn't play so well last week. But, yeah, it's really mysterious, and I'm wondering about it. But I like the, you know, Jesus. I like the Gophers here. I'm going to go with the Gophers, Chris. It's tough because I feel like Bielema always had a little something for us.
Yeah.
You know, we don't expect it or we don't see it coming, but he hasn't seen these two coordinators, by the way. I want to, you know, give them a shout out because first couple weeks of the season, I wasn't too happy with them. I think they finally, you know, hit their groove a little bit and are getting the team to play well. I think offensively, I think it's a Harbaugh guy. Throwing the ball around the yard a little bit more, and it's not just the slants and the RPOs, and, you know, it's well-designed routes for good receivers, which we've always kind of had good receivers under Fleck. It's just getting the ball to them has been the issue. Tanner Morgan liked the slants, and that's what was being called under Shiraka, I guess. But this has kind of opened up a little bit. I think Brosmer had something to do with maybe that opening up a little bit. And then Taylor running the ball. I don't want to necessarily say we're a throw-to-run team, but coming off of Saturday, it seems like we might be a throw-to-run team, which is kind of checks the opposition to what PJ usually does. But nonetheless, I say Gophers here just because of our ability to throw the ball around. If we can do that on the road and then, you know, mix in a little bit of Taylor, a little bit of the other running back, and then maybe be able to run well enough to hold on to a lead, I think we can win. I'm going to say Gophers. I'm closing my eyes here. Gophers probably mid-20s, Illinois in the teens. I'm going to go 24-14, something like that. That's too much.
That's 20-16 is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm thinking 27-24 Gophers, a field goal wins it. Although Kesich hasn't really been great all year at field goals, but I'm going to go Goldie Gopher on this one.
Yeah, it's funny because you're right. He came in this year as one of the better, you know, kickers in the nation and, you know, hasn't played good. Did get, you know, did pretty good this last game, but I think it is going to be a field goal that does it last year, dude. And this, the deep, it was a new D corner this year, but we did have Harbaugh last year too. So this is the second year, but 27-26 last year, dude. Right? That game did at Illinois. The year after, some shit went wrong, and it opened up to 26-14, but it was a closer game than that. Then the year before, 2021, the year we lost to Bowling Green. 14-6, and it's just sitting there here, man. You want the game? Do you want the game? Because it's here every time, and it's just been there. It's much like that damn Iowa game, you know. It's just right there, dude. Take it. You want it? Take the fucking thing. And it's just, and we haven't taken it. So hopefully we do. And if we get to 6 wins after being 2-3, that would be something. And Rutgers, you know, injury. It kind of figured out a little bit more. Obviously, we do have some former coaches there and a former quarterback there who'll be looking for revenge. But you know, you got Rutgers, then you have a bye, then you have Penn State, Wisconsin. So if you could get this win, you could go 2 out of 3. And if Penn State doesn't have their quarterback, who knows? You know, so I'm not saying we're going to be 9-3, although if we were, that would be nuts, considering you're 2-3. But Vegas had us at 4.5, and then it kind of bumped at some places to 5.5. Well, we already cashed in one bet at 4.5 over. And I have two other bets, another, you know, bet, and then a personal bet with someone that we usually bet each other on outcomes of the Gopher season. So, man, that'd be great to get this Illinois. Just get over the hump, dude. We do it for Fleck, you know, in this one. Do it for Fleck. Hopefully we get it done, man. Why don't you take us out of here?
Well, I'm looking. It says Greg Harbaugh Jr. joined the staff January 2022, was named co-offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach January 2023. So I don't know if he's been around.
So
or
23,
he's got promoted.
24.
So 23,
so if
24.
He came here 22, then 23, 24, 24, 25.
So he was the coordinator last year.
Yep.
I was thinking it was, what's his name? Simon or that middle guy. Nonetheless, yeah, I guess he has had a year. Well, it should be, you know, I guess the new quarterback too. Nonetheless, let's hope for a Gopher win. Although I did pick the Gophers. Let's hope we get a little better than my pick against the Vikings, and we'll talk to you next week.